Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and we are on our second part of this beautiful, beautiful teaching series, God's Divine Makeup of the Believer. And I tell you, I had a wonderful, wonderful journey, ride, a fantastic voyage, if you will, on the first part of this teaching series, God's Divine Makeup of the Believer. If you missed it, you always have an opportunity to listen to this broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at your will, in the comfort of your own time. You can revisit the broadcast and search for God's Divine Makeup of the Believer and catch up with us on part two. If this is your first time listening to the broadcast with this beautiful teaching series, God's Divine Makeup of the Believer. Now, if you missed the first part, of course, you can go back and listen. But the second part today, I have my guest returning, Brother Harold Copeland, and he's in the studio with me today. And he will be bringing part two of this teaching series, God's Divine Makeup of the Believer. Now, listen to this. The human spirit quickened, coming alive, born again, revived of the believer. The first application of God's makeup is the real you. Now, I'm talking about the believer now. Let me repeat myself. The human spirit quickened, coming alive, born again, revived of the believer. The first application of God's makeup is the real you. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit, capital S-P-I-R-T, himself witnesses with our spirit, lowercase S-P-I-R-T, that we are children of God. To walk in the Spirit is to present your body as a living sacrifice. This is the working of the Holy Spirit and human spirit commingling together to become one. Now, this type of walking and or living in the Spirit takes a renewed mind. A renewed mind. So I have my guest, Minister Harold Copeland, and myself will continue with part two of this wonderful teaching series, God's Divine Makeup of the Believer. So, Brother Harold, if you would go ahead and let's get this wonderful divine party started.
Hello, hello. My name is Minister Harold Copeland, and again, I will be your guest speaker. Now, last week, as mentioned, we started a series, God's Divine Makeup for the Believer. The triune believer, meaning three parts, spirit, soul, and body. And we will continue part two of that series. But first, I would like to recap some of the spiritual realities and spiritual truth that was released by Holy Spirit last week. We started out with God's divine makeup for the believer. The believer is a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body that we call his earth suit that carry him around while he's down here on earth. And we went to the book of Genesis, and we looked at the original creation of man. And we've seen how when God created Adam, he created him from the dust of the ground. And that dust of the ground became Adam's physical body. But God went on with the creation, and he blew into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. And we said how that breath of life became Adam, spirit man. His true identity, the real Adam, the innermost part of his being, the core of Adam. And we say, like the core of an apple is the center of an apple, and the core of Adam and any other believer is the center, the innermost being, the spirit man. Now, there was so much power in Adam's spirit being that power was released into Adam's soul, and Adam became a living soul. And let's look at Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 18 through 20. The Spirit just put that on my heart, so we want to take a look at that. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 18 through 20.
Okay, and I'll read that for you. Ephesians, starting at 18th verse. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glory, inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms.
Amen. And we're talking about that power. And the King James said, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us. And we have that great power in our spirits. It haven't got into our souls yet, and it haven't got into our physical body, but that power is in our spirits, and that's the same power that went into Adam's soul, and Adam became a living soul. And we carry that power, and we are going to release that power out of our spirit man into our hearts, our souls, our minds, our bodies, and we're going to be filled through and through with the supernatural power of the living God. And the Word of God says that it's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. And that same power is raising us up from the dead. From that old dead state that Adam placed us in through his disobedience. But we are receiving resurrection life even as we release these truths, as we release this word in Jesus' name. So scripture clearly shows that the original creation of man, God make up for man, even at the original creation, man was a spirit. Adam was a spirit, had a soul, and lived in a physical body. So when a sinner comes to Christ, a sinner comes to Christ with a dead spirit. But when that sinner's eyes become open, and he opened his mouth and confessed Jesus as Lord and began to believe in his heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and then he opened up his heart and asked Lord Jesus to come into his heart and become his Lord and Savior, Father God released his Holy Spirit, with the capital S, into that sinner spirit. And now the sinner becomes a believer because Holy Spirit quickens that dead spirit and brings that spirit back alive. And as a, and let's go to Romans chapter number 8, verse 11. Holy Spirit, just put that on my heart. Romans chapter number 8, verse 11.
Romans 8 and 11. And it reads this way. And I'll read this in the New NIV translation. Verse 11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body because of his spirit who lives in you.
Yes, the great Holy Spirit, our Heavenly Father, releases into us after our confession of Jesus Christ. And that translation say give life. King James say quickens. Same thing. Quickens. Give life. Makes alive. Our spirit man comes back alive. In other words, our spirit man connects back to God through the power of the Holy Spirit and through God's life. And that once a sinner, through confession, becomes a believer, and now he steps into the divine makeup of God, the Trion believer. He has a spirit. He is a spirit that has a soul that lives in a physical body. And we say that physical body is the earth suit that carries him around while he's here on earth. Now we will begin to step into part two, and we will start out by reading our launch pad scripture, which is 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 23.
1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3.
23.
I'm sorry, verse 23. And it reads this way. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Yes. Now, in order for us to walk in the Spirit, we're going to have to open up some spiritual doors. We're going to have to open up some supernatural doors to get there. So we are on a journey, and when we get to the end of the journey, the doors are going to be open so that we can walk in the Spirit and don't have to mind the lust of the flesh. So to begin, we're going to take the launch pad scripture, and we're going to break it down to its lowest term, like a mathematical function. So let's start with the name God in that scripture. You see, and may the God, the very God, God. Now, in America, the United States of America, and I say this lightly, and I will clarified through and through. But there are many gods in America. And there are also many denominations. And because of the many denominations in America, they have made many gods in America. And there are also many religions. And that too helps out to the making of all of these gods that we have, the many denominations and the many religions. Now, it's not just limited to America, but if you go around the globe and begin to study, and you'll see that this world that was created by one powerful God has just developed many gods. And around the world, there are many denominations and there are many religions around the world. So that's why when you have a conversation with somebody about God, you just can't take for granted that they are talking about your God, that they are talking about the Most High God, that they are speaking of the God of all creation. I remember when I was in Bosnia overseas, and I went out on the economy to get a haircut. And I sat in the chair, and the lady began to cut my hair. She was a citizen of that country. And we got start speaking of God. Amen. I was speaking of the Most High God, and she was speaking of her God. You know, and I knew that the God she was speaking of wasn't the same God that I was speaking of. Now, she thought that we were speaking of the same God, but I knew we wasn't, because my God, you have to go through the way. And Jesus say, I am the truth, the life, the way. That's the only way you get to him. But she didn't know anything about my Jesus. Now, there are some religion that say you just look in yourself, you look in yourself, and you get in touch with yourself, and you make yourself God. So if you have a conversation with them, they are going to be speaking of the God of self. Now, we know that there are some religion that just worship idols. They just straight out worship idols. We're talking idols that was created by the hands of man. These idols can't see. They can't talk. They cannot walk. But the people worship these idols. And then there are some religion that make animals gods. There are the snake gods and the lion gods. So if you're speaking with these people, they are going to be talking about the snake god, the lion god, the idol god. They will not be speaking of your God, Jehovah, Jireh, our provider. Now, there is an organization, a step organization, and they say you can pick your own God. It's your choice. That's the pick and choose crew. They say you can pick and choose who you want to be your God. It doesn't matter. It can be a chair. Your God can be a rock. Your God can be a tree, a stick, whatever you pick to be your God. That's your God. And if you're speaking to them about God, they're going to be talking about the rock and the tree and the stick and the chair. So you can't just take for granted when you're in a conversation about God that the person you're talking to is speaking of the Lord God Almighty. That's why in this text, Paul, he left no doubt in the mind about the God he was speaking of. He let it be known that he wasn't speaking of the many gods. He let it be known that he wasn't speaking of the God of self, or the idolatrous God that made by the hand of man, and they can't speak, and they can't speak, they can't talk, they can't walk. And he let it be known that he wasn't talking about the God of tree or branch or chair. Amen. He emphasized his God. He emphasized the God he was speaking of. And Paul was he was specific about the God that he was speaking of. And the way he specified his God was using that little word very. He said, the very God, that very one God, that very God of all gods, that very creator God. Amen. He let it be known that his God was more mightier. His God was the big G God. And all the rest of the gods are the liturgy gods. And he went further to clarify his God, that there will be no doubt in anybody's mind that he wasn't talking about the false gods, that he was talking about a true and living God. He went on to say the very God of peace. In other words, the God that can give you peace regardless of your circumstances. He can give you peace in the midst of your situation. My God can give you peace at the mountain. He can give you peace in the valley. He can give you peace in your mind and peace in your soul and peace in your thoughts and your emotions. In other words, the God that can give you peace regardless of what's going on in your life. And Jesus speaks about our God of peace in John chapter number 14, verse 27. Let us go there. John chapter number 14, verse 27.
John 14,
27.
And it reads this way. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
Praise God. Amen. And Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He had told them the worst news that they would ever hear in their life. He told them, I'm leaving you, and I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be put to death. But he said, in the midst of this horrific situation, I'm going to make it available where you can have peace. Why I go through this. He said, this is not the peace that the world gives you. Because the peace the world gives you is temporary. And everything got to be right. And once one thing go wrong, the peace that the world gives, it's going to leave. It's temporary. But Jesus said, I'll give you a supernatural kingdom peace that's going to keep you. You say, that's my peace. You say, a peace that will heal your troubling heart. A peace where fear cannot rule. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Verse 7.
First Timothy 1, verse 7. And it reads this way. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so competently affirm.
Amen. And that word, like Paul said, we know what we're talking about. Amen. Because we don't speak that comes from the mind of a man. And we don't speak that comes from the heart of a man. But we speak the very words of God. And those words comes from God's heart himself. And Jesus said, my words are spirit, and my words are life. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will last forever. And we thank God for that peace, the peace that he gives us, his kingdom peace. And it's no matter what we have to face, glory to even fear, because God has not given us fear, but God has given us power. God has filled our spirit with his love, the agape, the unconditional love of the living God. And God has flooded our minds with soundness. And we have a sound mind today because of the peace of the living God. Amen. And as we stay in the text, we're going to pull out a King James Version word that says sanctify. He said, in the very God of peace, sanctify. And we look at the word sanctify, it means to set apart. To set apart unto holiness. To separate for God use and God use only. Separate from the ways of the world kingdom. And to be used for the works, to be used for the works of God's kingdom. Sanctify. And that is what God is doing in this hour through spirit, soul, and body. He sanctified us. Amen. He setting us apart from the world. The world walk according to their soul. And we spoke to that about that song that was written back in the day that said, I'm a soul man. And that's how the world lived their life, through their souls. But we people of God, we've been sanctified. We've been separated and set apart. And we do not live life according to the soulless realm, but we live life according to the spirit realm. The spirit realm inside of us connects to the spirit realm that's outside. And like I said last week, I'm going to write a song. Not I'm a soul man, but I'm a spirit man. Created in the image, in the likeness of my Father God. Thank you, Lord. And that's sanctified. And as we keep reading, he says, sanctify you wholly. And we look at the word holy, and it comes from the root word whole. This is not the reverential holiness, you know, around the throne where the angels and the seraphims and the elders are beholding the presence of God, and they're saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is filled with your glory. And that's a wonderful, awesome holy. Amen. That's a wonderful, awesome holiness. But this is not what Paul is referring to in this text. He said, sanctify you wholly, coming from the root word whole, meaning the entire thing. Meaning the whole thing. Meaning the entire person, the whole person, all of you. And all of you is your spirit, your soul. In your body. And you will know that your spirit is already sanctified. That's happened at salvation. It's because of what Jesus did. And we'll be working on the soul and the body as we go forth in the Word of God. And he said that we be preserved. I like that word, preserved. Your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. And when I look at preserve, it means to maintain it, to maintain, preserve, to keep, to protect, maintain, keep, protect. You know, it reminds me of our grandmother's house. The grandmother stayed in Georgia. And she stayed in the country. And she had a lot of acres. And on those acres, she had a lot of fruit trees. And we would have so much fruit that we couldn't eat it all. And she had to preserve. She had to preserve most of it. And the way she preserved it, she took mason jars, the old country mason jars, and she would fill them with fruit. Then she would take a thin layer of paraffin, and put it over the opening of the jar, and she would seal it tight. Where none of those airborne bacteria can get in there. Where no type of contamination can get in there. And then she would take her top and put it on the jar and screw it on there and take the fruit and put it on the shelf. And that fruit would sometimes be preserved for years and years and years. And I have eaten some of that fruit that has been preserved for some time. And when you eat it, it's just as fresh as if it just came off the tree. And that's that preservation. And that's what God is doing to us. He's preserving us in our spirit. He's preserving us, and he's filling us with his Holy Spirit. That we'll be able to walk in the Spirit. Amen. That we'll be able to walk in his word. Like Jesus said, my word is spirit. And my word is life. That we can begin to open our mouth and release the supernatural life that's on the inside of us. And we can open our mouth and release the supernatural power that's on the inside of us. And with this life and this power, that we'll be able to do the will of God and the plan of God that God has for our lives. And God is preserving us by the supernatural power of his Spirit. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 22. That's 2 Corinthians, chapter number 1, verse 22.
And it reads this way. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come.
And see, that Holy Spirit, that sealed, that's the earnest down payment that God has given us. The earnest down payment that we belong to him. The earnest down payment that we are his forever. The earnest down payment that nothing can snatch us out of his hand. the earnest down payment that no works of the enemy can be able to stop us. That he called us to do in this hour, we shall fulfill it. In the works that he done, we shall do in greater works. Because Jesus went back to the Father and he asked the Father to send another comforter, the Spirit of Truth. And he said that the Spirit of Truth will abide with us forever. Thank you, God, for your Spirit. So we look at God's divine makeup for the believer. I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body, which is my earth suit that carries me while I'm down here on earth. Amen. And as we try to get that spirit door open, the one that's in our bellies, but then as we go beyond the natural realm, that's where the supernatural realms begin. So we're trying to get both of those doors open through the power of God's word and by the power of his Holy Spirit. Now, to help us get the door open, I got to show the need for this revelation to come into the body of Christ. There's a great need for spirit, soul, and body to flood the body of Christ. And I'm going to give you one of the greatest examples of how detrimental it is that we open up this revelation and release it into the hearts of the minds of the believers, but also that we be ready to feed this manna to the sinner man when he comes to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. So we have sinners. I'm just going to use the word because they're not saved. There's only two types of people. There's sinners and there's saved people and unsaved people. So we have sinners being led into our churches. And God has a word prepared for them, and the word comes forth and begin to knock on the doors of their hearts. They get pricked. And then they go to our altars. They come to our altar Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. They come to our altars Wednesday after Wednesday after Wednesday after Wednesday after Wednesday. And they are led through the center prayer. And right there at the altar, they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. No longer sinners, but now they are believers. And they leave and they go their way. But in less than 24 hours, they begin to realize, I just got saved, but I'm having some of the same thoughts I had before I got saved. I'm feeling some of the same feelings. I'm feeling some of the same emotions I had when I was a sinner. The enemy of my soul is still trying to dominate me and still trying to torment me. Then they begin to ask themselves, did I really get saved? Did something really happen when I went to that altar? And they begin to further ponder and wonder, is there something wrong with me? Why can't I be like the other Christians? They seem as though they all got it together. Then they begin to ask, is this Christian thing for real? Is it for real? And then the devil plant the ultimate seed of doubt into their mind, and they say, I know this Christian stuff wasn't true. I know that those Christians were just putting on. There is no hope for me. And the majority of these new converts begin to walk away. Some take many years to come back to the fold. Sadly enough, there are some that never makes it back. The reason this happens is because of a lack of solid Christian foundational teaching. And the solution is the greatest Christian foundational teaching that has been presented to the body of Christ in the last 30 to 50 years. Spirit, soul, and body. Let's go to Romans chapter number 10. Verse 9. The book of Romans, chapter number 10, verse 9.
If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen. That's salvation. That's salvation. Now I'm finna say something most of you haven't heard before, but I got the scriptures to help me out. Okay, after we make this confession, Jesus is Lord. God raised Jesus from the dead. And Jesus knocking at the door of my heart, and I open up my heart and I let him come in. I ask that gentleman to come into my heart and become my Lord and my Savior. And I'm saved. Now, we are in Christ now. Before that, we was in self. But now we are in Christ. And Christ is in us. And Christ has become our hope. And we are filled with the Spirit of the living God. Inside our spirit man, we are walled, Holy Ghost. Our spirit man is beautiful and wonderfully made. Our spirit man looks just like Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. And since I made that statement, I'm going to support it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John chapter number 4, verse 17.
Verse 17. And it reads, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus.
Amen. See, that spirit, soul, and body there. See, in the spirit, we just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. Identical. If there was molecules in the spirit realm, we would be molecules and molecules like Jesus. If there was atoms in the spirit realm, we'll be atom to atom, just like Jesus. And it said, love made perfect. That's how beautiful the spirit is. The perfect love of God resides in our spirit, man. The agape, the non-failing love, that love Paul talks about when he said, that I may know in my Noah. in my inner being, that I may know, meaning having an intimate relationship, that I may have an intimate relationship with the love of God that surpasses knowledge. It surpasses knowledge. You can't even think that high. Amen. It's freely given, and by faith we freely receive. So once we make that confession, we receive God's salvation, beautiful salvation. And Jesus Christ has saved us. Now, when we look at the makeup of the believer, a spirit, a soul, and a body, and this is why the spirit is so important. When God saved us, he only saved one third of the makeup. God only saved our spirit man. God did not save our souls. Now, I know you heard evangelists and missionaries say that I'm a soul winner and I'm going to get a soul saved. You know, that's just people talking. That's all that is. I'm going to show you by Scripture, by the Word of God, that when we receive this awesome salvation, we only receive it in our spirit, because God only saves our spirit. God did not save our souls, and he do not save our physical bodies. And the Word of God will speak these truths into your hearing. Praise God. Now, the route that we're going to take, I'm not going to show you that God saved your spirit and your spirit only. I'm not going to go that route. The route I'm going to go by Scripture, I'm going to show you by the Word of God that when you got saved, God did not save your soul and he did not save your physical body. And through process of illumination, we would all see together that since God didn't save our souls and he didn't save our physical body, the only part of us he saved was our spirit man. We're going to walk in the spirit. Oh, yes, we are. We're going to open up the doors of the spirit. Oh, yes, we are. And we're going to go beyond the natural realm. Man. Because the Word of God is that vehicle to carry us there. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. First scripture. James. Chapter number 1. Verse 21.
James 1:21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you.
Amen. James is speaking it to Christians. He's not speaking to unsaved people. He's speaking to believers that has received Jesus Christ as the Lord and the Savior. And they got some filth in them. Amen. Now, the filth is not in the spirit. King James says, the New King James says, filth and evil in your life. That's what it said. Filth and evil in your life. And humbly accept the word of God has planted in your heart, for it has the power to save your soul. See, these people are already believers, so that means their spirit man is saved. But James is telling them, now you got to get your soul saved. So if James is telling them they got to get their soul saved, that's telling me that the soul was not saved at the original salvation. At the original salvation, God only saves our spirit man. Glory to God. Let's go to another one. First Peter, chapter number 1, verse 9.
First Peter 1, verse 9. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul.
Look at that. The end result of your faith. He's talking to believers. And he's telling them, believers, now you got to walk by faith. Because if you keep walking by faith, not only your spirit will be saved, but your soul will get saved too. And we understand from the teaching that the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotion, and we know that's true. But we can also bring our conscience in there, and we put all that together like a soup, mind, will, emotion, conscience, and what we do, we get a personality. And we need to get that personality saved, because that personality before it meet God, it wasn't made by God. That personality was made by our surroundings, by our upbringing, in our household. Mama influenced it, daddy influenced it, brothers and sisters influenced it, the neighborhood influenced it. Amen. Where we was hurt, where we was rejected, the guilt, the shame, all of that formed that personality. And that's a personality that's not. God did not give us that personality. But during the saving of the soul, amen, the personality of the spirit comes out of the spirit and begin to renew our minds according to that God has created us to be. And the fruit of the spirit begin to flow through us: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Amen. I hope you're journeying with me, because we don't. Two scriptures has told us back to back that our souls did not get saved. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 39.
Hebrews 10:39. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul.
He's talking to believers again. And he said, we can't draw back. Now, the example I gave you about the sinner that got saved, and then after 24 hours later, they began to wonder, you know, why these thoughts are there. See, those thoughts are there to take them back. See, that's the devil. He's trying to get them early. He know if I can stop them and I can bring confusion now, and if I can take them back now, they probably will never even try this Christian thing again. So that's why we have to teach new believers, spirit, soul, and body. Yes, you're saved in your spirit. Everything that you need. Holy Spirit just gave me another scripture we need to go to. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 3.
Ephesians
chapter number 1, verse 3.
I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. And it reads this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ.
Amen. See, this is spirit, soul, and body. God only saved that spirit man. But look what he put in that spirit man. He put every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in our spirits, everything that we need to walk this walk out successfully is already implanted in our spirit. God did not leave anything we need out. Whatever we need, we have to go into our spirit and dig it out. The word of God say, know ye not that we have heavenly treasures buried in these earthly vessels. And what it's talking about, that it's buried in our spirits. And it's like, and if you had treasure in your backyard, buried in your backyard and X marked the spot, that treasure will not do you any good if you keep it in the ground. You're going to have to get you some tools, and you're going to have to go out there, and you're going to have to dig on that X until you hit payday. And it's the same way in our spirits. Everything that we need for our soul to get saved is already in our spirit, man. Everything that we need to get our physical bodies lined up, to get them healed, there's healing in our spirit, man. Every deliverance that we need, every generation curse from mama's side, from daddy's side, from great-grandmama, all that power is on the inside of us and is in our spirit, man. Glory to God. And we got to go down into our spirit, man, and dig it up. And how do we dig it up? We dig it up by calling those things that be not. We dig it up by speaking the word of God in season and out of season. We dig it up by declaring what the Lord said and not what our circumstances and situations are saying. We dig it out by not believing the report of the doctor, but believing that Jesus Christ is our healer. Believing that he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Our spirit is loaded. We are wall-to-wall Holy Ghost in our spirit, man. God, he did a complete kingdom work when he saved us in our spirits. And now we got to go into our spirit, man, and pull that power and pull that word out and begin to renew our minds with it. As Minister said earlier in the opening. So I pray you're journeying with me, because now we have three scriptures that show us that our soul was not saved. Let's try one more. James chapter number 1, verses 5 through 8.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unsuitable in all his ways.
Is he double-minded? Some people try to say that we are double natured. We're not double natured. The old man is dead. The old nature is dead and gone. But we are double minded. Because the old man, what the old man did was he programmed our soulless mind. Yes, he did. He's programmed our soulless mind to think like him. So even though the old man is dead, our mind is programmed to think like the old man. And it's like a computer. If you want to get rid of a program out of a computer, you got to rewrite the computer. You got to rewrite the program. And even though the old man is dead, he left that program in our minds that we got to get rid of. We got to rewrite it. And the word that they use is renew. Because along with our new life in the spirit, we have a spirit mind and our spirit man. which is the mind of Christ. But we also have that unrenewed mind in our souls. And as long as they don't agree, we're double-minded. So our walk as a Christian, our daily life as a Christian, is to renew our soulish mind to line up to the supernatural spiritual mind that's in our bellies. And once we get our soulish mind to line up with that, to come in agreement, now we're single-minded. And all that power and all that word and all that virtue that's in our spirit will begin to flow through our soulish mind into our soul. Amen. And we'll be filled through and through with the supernatural presence of the living God. That divine flow of God that's in our bellies will begin to flow through us. That divine life, that supernatural life, will begin to flow all over us. And that's how we get the soul saved, by the renewing of the mind. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 53. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 53.
And it reads this way. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible.
Okay, hold there.
And this
corruptible and incorruptible. Corruptible is talking about our physical body. Our physical body is corruptible. And one day we're going to put on an incorruptible body, but we haven't put it on yet. So we still have the same unsaved body that we had before we got saved. Keep reading.
And this mortal must put on immorality.
Yes. We have a mortal body. The same mortal body that we had before we got saved, we got the same mortal body. A body that's capable of dying, a body that's capable of being corrupted. One day, we're going to put on an immortal, glorified body. One day. But it ain't happened yet. So our bodies haven't been saved yet. And our souls haven't been saved yet. Amen. But our spirits, glory to God. God's kingdom is in our spirits right now. Amen. And God's will is being done in our spirits right now. I mean, we are filled with the fullness of God in our spirit, man. And we have to speak the word of God, because it's the word of God that releases all of that virtue in our spirits into our minds and into our souls and into our physical bodies. Now, once we get that virtue into our physical bodies, that's when we can go and lay hands and we can cast out devils in the name of Jesus. He said we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We drink any deadly thing, it will not harm us. We take up serpents and scorpions and any deadly thing. Amen. So we have to get the power out of our spirit, man. And if I open our mouth and speak in kingdom talk, amen, speaking the word of God in season and out of season. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Romans chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2.
Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen. Paul said, I beseech you. You know, beseech is like highly encouraged, even to the point of begging, pleading, because of God's mercies, pleading, begging. That body, that unsaved body, if we don't present it to God, that body going to make a mockery out of us. That body will lead us. And the body only connects to the physical world. The body can't connect to the spirit. So the body will lead us in this physical world, and we'll be walking around. And Paul said it'll have us conforming to the world if we follow our bodies. He said we'll look just like the world. We will be Christian. You can tell. You can tell by our action, because our body will have us doing everything the world is doing. But he said we got to present it to God. He said a living sacrifice. Amen. Because God want to use us. And if we say, well, when I die, then I'll say, well, no, God want to use you now while you're alive. And it's a sacrifice. Why? Because you give up what the world is requiring, and you make a sacrifice, and you present yourself that God's will be done through you. You know, Mother Teresa was one of the greatest women of God that ever lived, a woman of God that ever lived. And she woke up every day. I think she actually lived the scripture. She woke up every day, and she raised her hand and said, Lord, here's my hands, and here's my feet. What would you have me to do today? See, that's presenting the body, a living sacrifice for holiness. Acceptable, not conforming to the world, but what would you have me to do today for your kingdom? Being transformed by the renewing of the mind. Yes, and that's how we write that program in our minds. And I made a statement about the sinner that comes to the altar, and 24 hours later, they wonder what in the world is going on. You know, we need to be in position to tell them, yeah, your spirit man is saved. And if you died right now, you're going to heaven. But now we got to get your soul saved. Because you need your soul saved to get victory while you're down here on earth. Amen. You got to get your mind renewed.
Amen. Brother Harold, I think this is a beautiful time right now that you are on this in this area of the lesson, that we stop, drop, and pray for somebody that may be listening to this broadcast right now. And it would not be to our best interest to assume that every listener is a believer in Christ Jesus, that they are saved and going to heaven. So if you could, Brother Harold, pray a prayer of salvation. And brothers and sisters that are listening to this broadcast today, if you would touch and agree with us and lift up that husband, lift up that wife or that child or someone in your office or just someone that is in your circle of influence, lift them up right now in the name of Jesus, that as we pray together and touch and agree, that you would give your heart to Christ. Just as Brother Harold is ministering the word of God, showing us proof written in scripture that we must be born again. So I just think this would be a perfect opportunity for us to just stop, drop, and pray and extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone who may want him in the pardoning of their sin. So Brother Harold, if you could do that.
Amen. I sense the presence of Holy Spirit, and he's moving from heart to mind. And I know he's tugging. And all you have to do is just repeat these words after me and repeat them. Open your heart and repeat them from your heart. Father, I know I'm a sinner. Father, forgive me, for it is you that I have sinned against. Father, I repent I turn away from the sin that so easily beset me, and I turn my heart to you. Father, I confess Jesus as Lord, and I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. Father, I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We just want to welcome you in the ark of salvation, into the body of Christ, the family of faith, and that you are a Christ follower. So it would be to your best interest that you would seek out a Bible teaching church, that you would be baptized by submersion, and when you get up, you will just sing hallelujah and tell somebody that you are a Christ follower born again. Hallelujah. And that you would seek out a small group, Sunday school class or a discipleship class that would disciple you so that you can grow and go in grace. And I just want to say thank you for just opening your heart to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and as you have prayed and followed along with us through this beautiful lesson. So, Brother Harold, I'm going to turn it back over to you to bring us to the beautiful close of this part two, walking or living in the Spirit.
Amen. Let's pull up James, chapter number one, verses 23 through 25. James, chapter number one, verses 23 through 25.
For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does.
Amen. Now, the Word of God is a spiritual mirror, just like a natural mirror identifies us in the natural. If I wanted to see how I look in the natural, then I would go to a natural mirror, and I would let that natural mirror reflects. And that natural mirror reflects who I am. It's not the real me, it's just a reflection. But I believe the reflection that I see. Minister Smith was talking about putting on makeup in a mirror. When you start out, you need a mirror. I never put it on, but I know I used to go, when I went out with my wife, And she would sit at the table for a while, and then she said, I got to go to the restroom. Well, I need to check my makeup to see if my makeup is still on. She couldn't feel that. She couldn't feel it. She couldn't think it. She couldn't feel it. She couldn't function. She had to get up and go to a mirror and look into the mirror because that couldn't be felt. It couldn't be felt whether her makeup was still on correctly. And it's like my hair. If I wanted to know if my hair was combed, I couldn't just think, well, let me think and see if my hair combed. No, I couldn't feel, you know, well, I actually had to get up and look in a mirror because that can't be thought out. That can't be felt out. I have to go to the mirror and look into the mirror and let the mirror reflect. Now, the Word of God is a spiritual mirror. And if we want to know our spiritual identity, we just can't think who I am in Christ. We can't say, if I got the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, I'll try to think it, I'll try to feel it. No, it can't be felt. Supernatural things cannot be felt. Spiritual things cannot be five cents. You can't think it up in your mind. You can't look in your circumstances and situation and to see if something supernatural working for you. The only way you can find out who you are in the spirit is you got to look into the spiritual mirror, which is the Word of God. You don't feel it. You got the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, but you don't feel it. And since we can't feel it, some people don't believe it. Amen. We can do the works that Jesus have done, and we can do greater works than these, but people can't feel it, and they can't think it. Since they can't feel it, and they can't think it, they can't find it, since they don't believe it. But to find our spiritual identity, to walk in the spirit where we're going, to get the spiritual door open, to walk in the spirit, we have to walk according to the Word of God. To walk in the spirit, we do not walk by our circumstances and our situation. Amen. We don't walk by how big the mountain is and how low the valley is. We walk according to what the Word of God says. And we have to look into the spiritual mirror, which is the Word of God. And we have to let that word reflect. If that word said by Jesus Christ, you're healed, you're healed. I don't care if there is a pain. The Word of God is more true than that pain. If the Word of God say you've been set free, you've been set free. It's reflecting you are free. It's showing you who you are. You are set free by the power of Jesus Christ. You are healed by the power of Jesus Christ. Every curse has been destroyed. Every yoke has been taken by Jesus. Every burden is looking in the mirror. When we read the Word of God, we're looking in the mirror. If the Word of God say you are anointed, you are anointed. I don't care if you don't feel it. I don't care if you don't see it. I don't care if you don't touch it. If the Word of God reflects that you are anointed, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you. It's in there. Believe it. Let it reflect the spiritual truth and the spiritual reality. It's above what you feel. It's above your mind. And what we do is our minds got to come down into that truth. We're renewing our minds to that truth, and our minds come in agreement with the truth of the Word of God. So it's a spiritual mirror. James said, don't walk away from that mirror and forget what you see when you look in that mirror. Don't be a forgetful hearer. But he said, but be a doer. A doer of the work. Amen. The Word of God tells us who the Son set free is free indeed. We are free indeed. We're no longer bound. We're no longer shackled. We're no longer chained. Amen. We're no longer tied up. We're no longer going around in circles, but we're pressing forward in the power of the living God. We're no longer victims. We are victors in the name of Jesus. Amen. And every circumstance and every situation is going to line up to the power and the will of God. So we look in that spiritual mirror. We can't go by our circumstances and let our circumstances tell us who we are. No, the only thing that can tell us who we are is the word of God. It reflects perfectly who we are in the spirit. Just like that natural mirror will reflect perfectly your natural identity, well, the spiritual mirror, the Bible, reflects perfectly who we are since we've been born again. Who we are since we're in Christ. Who we are since we're full of the Holy Ghost. Who we are since we walk in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this part two is coming to an end.
Yes. This has been such a beautiful journey. I mean, a fantastic voyage, as I stated in the beginning. And I just don't want to let it go. But we will pick this up on next week and conclude the remnants of part two, if need be, Brother Harold. And as we move into part three of this beautiful lesson, God's divine makeup of the believer, I tell you, God has just hit so many pressure points in the mind and in the hearts. And I just pray and hope that those who are listening have been impacted or affected by the richness of the Word of God that Brother Harold has laid out before us, that we eat on the richness of this Word so that you can always know that the spirit man, your spirit, is alive in Christ. And I tell you, I just hate to let it go, but it has come to the end of this particular broadcast, and that we'll always remember and never forget this, brothers and sisters, that the grass wither and the flowers, oh yes, they fade away, but the Word of God remains forever and ever. And I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness to this broadcast, and thank you for faithfully seeking God in your heart. And Brother Harold, we will be back again on next week to continue this beautiful journey in this wonderful lesson that you have given us, God's divine makeup of the believer. So thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your obedience, Brother Harold, and thank you for being a faithful listener of Mission from the Heart Radio. And God bless.
God bless.